Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
And we're still bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Yes, we are.
Can you believe it? Be it news,
be it recaps, that's all a good time.
We're going to be kicking things off today with some of our favorite Kawhi moments thus far. There's really a lot to choose from, so if we missed your favorite Kawhi moment, please let us know at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. We'd love to know what some of the fans' favorite Kawhi moments are.
And if you want to call in, the lines are open until the basketball comes back. Go ahead and call in 213-986-7354. And we can play it on the air.
Bang our line.
Please do.
And then we have a Friday special. You know it. You love it. It's a Love Mary Bring Soup To this week.
But it's not like that.
But it's not like that.
Yeah.
And then, so we got some other possible historic landmarks that Stephen Ballmer could buy in this one.
Yes, L. Stephen.
And then we'll be wrapping things up with some shavings. Pat was on IG Live. We have just kind of a look back, I guess, about like the NBA's handling of coronavirus, maybe some other entities.
Yeah, some larger, maybe more powerful ones.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
So we're doing kind of a favorite player series. I guess right now, in terms of moments and whatnot, we're talking Kawhi Leonard, the jewel of the Clippers crown on the season, in case you forgot.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard is averaging 27-7-5, the most assists of his career, with splits of 47-36-89. For all intents, he's on pace to play more games than he did last year, especially now, or maybe not. Could go either way, really.
Yeah.
He's been, just overall, he's been nothing short of exactly what I think people wanted. Overall.
Well, I just bring this up because yesterday we did a little bit of like a fantasy look at the Paul George trade. Like what could have been if we would have kept Shane Gallo. And I think that maybe even just for what Kawhi has been, you do that trade probably 8 times out of 10.
Even for just what Kawhi has been?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Fantastic. Because, I mean, that was a linchpin in making the whole thing happen.
For sure.
And I think that, Kawhi's performance has been nothing short of what was advertised. Better.
Yeah, and it's like he hasn't missed any extra time. That was, I think the biggest concern was just all of the load management hullabaloo.
Yeah, definitely.
He hasn't missed extra time because of stuff like that. The load management is working. He's playing some of his best basketball. Close 100%, to it.
Yeah. And other than that Bucks game, I mean, they've really done it. They've where it was, there was a huge amount of backlash. Other than that, I feel like, whether it's just because of the way the schedule was laid out or, a conscious effort by team staff, that, he really hasn't had to miss out of a whole lot of, super crucial games.
And while he's been ramping up to the Doc quote, now's the time where it's like, all right, now we can put him, which conveniently is also when we traded away Mo Harkless. But now's the time. It's been ramping up to what before the break was looking like, a very well-oiled machine all around. And especially well-oiled with Kawhi playing as well as he was.
Yes.
So let's get into some of our favorite moments. I think this one is and everyone's kind of favorite moment is just the initial announcement with Paul George, Ballmer, Doc, Jerry, Lawrence, everybody.
Yeah. Although that Kawhi shirt was a low point of the season.
I will say that. I think this moment's actually not more iconic because of the shirt, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah.
The picture of Kawhi like smiling as he's walking up to the podium and like you can see kind of a blurry Doc and a blurry Ballmer in the back smiling too. I haven't looked at it since basketball has been away and I don't think I can. But that is such a night like that's it felt like the culmination of so many things. It felt like the entire franchise's whole lineage because things had been kind of rough.
Yeah, definitely.
It was surreal.
Such a turning point.
Yeah, it was, and it was done in the perfect way.
It was also like a different. I mean, I think Kawhi made a conscious effort too to be a little bit more open to the media. We definitely got the introduction of him being maybe not the star that people had thought before. Like just in terms of personality wise, that while maybe the media or we don't get to see it as much, he is like a person that teammates do seem to enjoy. Yeah. He is a person who does, you know, crack jokes. And
Ballmer losing his mind at that, I think, really helped open Kawhi up.
Yeah.
Because, sure. like, he said something like Ballmer's crazy or something like that. Like, just the moment with those two guys and, like, it felt like it was such a big win that day.
Yeah.
To have everything, you know, the community center, the mural, like, it couldn't have been done in a more perfect way.
And then we got to throw in there the opening night. One of the most iconic moments of the entire season. when Kawhi, to a booing Staples Center crowd, hit him with the hey, hey, hey.
And they stopped.
And we walked away with a dub that night. And that was, man, what a season opener.
What, 36, 5, 2 steals, a block, no minutes restriction, no Paul George. Like, the bench did its thing. After how well the, you know, I don't know if unveiling is right, where the introduction went, it was like, because there was some uncertainty, obviously. The way Clippers franchise has been, we could have, for all we know, things could have gone horribly wrong that opening night.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, and he was Kawhi, as he's been most of this entire season.
Oh, man. And then another great one. I'd almost forgot about this, but November 20th versus the Celtics, he had an iconic dunk on Daniel Theis. A reporter, I can't remember if it was Greif or somebody tried to ask him about it.
Was it Tomer?
It might have been. But it was one of your fabulous Clippers beat writers.
Absolutely.
Follow all of them. Check them out. But he was asked to describe the dunk. He said, "What do you want me to say?" Patrick threw him the ball. I took two dribbles into the paint, tried to jump high and dunk the basketball.
That's what happened. Show me the lie. That was kind of... This was in what, November? Yeah, this was in November. So still kind of quasi early in the season.
That's very early in the season. Anything pre-Christmas Day to me is very early in the season.
And so for Spotlight, it's early too. So this was like a nice like coming out moment, I think, for Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
For people, because there were so many articles, because I was rewatching this clip, because there's so many articles that were like, Kawhi has to know he's being funny here, right? And it's like, he's not. What the fuck do you think this guy is? he's not.
They think that he's Forrest Gump.
Yeah, like, it's like, dude, like, no, like,
And then, obviously, I mean, Christmas Day was a whirlwind. That was like the greatest gift I've ever received as a Clippers fan.
One more thing about the Celtics game.
Okay.
He had the game-winning block on Kemba.
Oh, that's right.
Nonchalant that I think people forget about it. He literally blocked Kemba and started walking to the locker room in one motion and just started going away.
Yeah, that was very like a very casual game-winning block. And then Christmas Day, he balled out 35, 12, 5. 5-7 from 3, and then just the defense on LeBron, yes. I think, was also, I mean, I guess given his reputation, we should have expected it, but it was great. It's you like to see it.
We haven't talked about it a bunch so far, but like it's been so nice to see. It's just so consistently smooth elite.
Definitely.
I feel like.
Definitely.
Yeah, LeBron shot 1 of 3 against him. Also, LeBron refused to guard him, which, you know, that checks out. That was a statement game for people who thought he needed one.
Yeah.
Not for him, obviously.
And then we have a couple...
Fire him off.
A couple in...
This is making me feel better about no basketball, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. A couple in January, I guess that I gotta rattle off. We beat the Cavs at home, and it was just kind of like... You know, it's not an unexpected win, obviously, although the Clippers did this season have some issues putting away the well below 500 teams upon occasion. At home, absolutely stomped them, 128-103. And Kawhi, I mean, he was incredible. He played less than 30 minutes, he had 43 points. I don't know. He was plus 39 in this win. And it was just this one, I guess, sticks out a little bit for me just because it kind of it ignited a little 4-game win streak, and it was just it's just nice to see those games, I guess, get put away.
Absolutely.
And then the big one, I think we both have, is that game at Miami.
Yeah, the triple double.
Yes,
which is also JaMychal, which was on JaMychal's list for our like favorite games.
Yes.
Of JaMychal.
Yeah.
The 5-point win, he had 33, 10, and 10, 11 from 11 from the line. He guarded Jimmy Butler, who shot 0-for-4. He guarded Duncan Robinson, one of the elite three-point shooters in the league. He went 1-for-3. All of his attempts were threes. This one felt good.
Felt really, really good. Felt really,
this is just
really
MVP
good.
Level Kawhi right here, all the way around.
And then there's another one I'm going to add in here. As I said, we can't get to, like, I mean, we can't point out every single great game because there was just too damn many. But the win over the Timberwolves at home, 118-106, in at the beginning of February, where I like this one. I know we're talking about Kawhi moments, but Paul George and Kawhi, this was like the game where they were both really incredible.
For sure.
But Kawhi had 31 in that one, 4 assists, 6 boards.
The 2-1-3 games are always fun. The 2-1-3 games feel like, because they're always a victory, but they feel like an even bigger victory. You're just like, you see why you make these trades?
Yeah. I mean, he took 9 3-point attempts in that game. Ooh. And hit 44% beyond the arc. It was just a game where, they just went off. And it was great to see.
It's really funny, when I was looking over these games, I was just kind of looking at the stats all piled at once at Basketball Reference. Man, if you just want to see a completely full stat sheet, go ahead and just scroll through that for hours if you're on Shelter in Place.
Guy who's pretty good at basketball.
Yeah, crazy that the stats match up with that. Coming up, let us know your favorite Kawhi moment at Locked On Clippers, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler, at 213-986-7354. Coming up after this, we have an extra long Love, Mary, Kill. Excuse me, Love, Mary, Soup. But it's no big thing. You know, you're just bringing it to him. About things that Ballmer could have purchased.
All right. So, in light of things, we're on a current Love, Mary, Break, Soup, too. But it's not like that.
But it's not like that.
For other historical landmarks that Steven could buy.
So, it's an Updike special.
So, I guess... Do we have any feelings on the forum thing before we jump into this?
I just feel like I could be completely wrong on this, and this could be a little bit of inside brain,
okay,
if you will. Did Dolan plant the Balls email story to just try and muck everything up as much as possible, so Ballmer just said, screw it, here's $400 million from the forum? I don't know how business works. It seems shady based on everything that I've been reading recently.
I mean, it was definitely...
Right, I just hate giving James Dolan. I feel bad for Mets fans.
Okay.
Because there's a big thing where, like, he needs a bunch of money to try and, like, become a partial owner of their media team, which also involves a piece of the team. And
yeah.
The Mets are already a horribly run organization.
Yeah.
And have bad luck. And, like, John Cooperman hit me up about that. I just feel bad giving James Dolan $400 million. It's not my money. I don't feel actually bad. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody feels great about it. Yeah.
Are you going to implode it?
I mean,
it can't just be there.
I truly don't understand. I guess unless it's profitable to run as to keep it running as a concert venue or something. I guess I'm not fully sure what the purpose is. And I know that it would be another one of those things that people would, I feel like, kind of unjustly hate the Clippers for.
Yeah, but it's been like a church and like a bunch of rant. It's a concert venue.
It's been so many things.
I mean, for sale also.
It's been so many things. You know, Dolan obviously even wanted to get the Lakers back in that building. It was never going to happen.
Which is insane, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I can't truly speak on it because, you know, I wasn't here when, you know, like, that was part of Lakers history
for sure. Yeah,
so I'm a little removed from that.
And the only reason it is part of Lakers history, because of a loan,
true,
from a Clippers owner,
true.
But we're gonna
and a great man by all accounts.
No, maybe not that part. So we're talking things that Ballmer could have bought,
yeah,
other than the forum.
All right,
the
so
floor is yours.
Okay, so Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
I think that, look, Steven loves the Dakota Badlands as much as the next guy, right?
Who doesn't?
But he's commented that Mount Rushmore has always seemed a little swaggerless. His words, not mine.
Is this after he's been in quarantine?
Yeah.
Does his quarantine brain bother?
So he's going to change it into Mount Cushmore, okay. Which... You know, basically, it's a quick rebrand. Just toss some sunglasses.
Just seems like some patchy cement work.
Toss some sunglasses on the guy. Maybe toss a few doinks on there.
Okay.
And It'd also be really funny if, as an addition, he just put Kawhi on one side and Pat Bev on the other, doing like the see no evil, speak no evil.
I like this.
So that's Mount Kushmore. Another one is, I think that he has enough money to buy the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, what's that thing worth?
I mean, not $40 billion.
The French are pretty prideful about their historical.
Not $40 billion. Anyways, though, Stephen Ballmer.
I mean, that in a good way.
Notably hates France, especially Paris. Especially Paris.
What?
He's only into the private islands.
I don't think
he's like, he's more of a he's more of a Seychelles guy.
He's already beat the.
So he's going to turn it into the 5L Tower, which is, after eliminating any team from the playoffs, Steve Ballmer will send a team and their entire staff to Paris. Like I said, his least favorite place.
Where is this coming from?
To give them their 5th L.
This is, man.
They ride the newly dubbed, they ride the newly dubbed 5L Tower, which Stephen Ballmer has also outfitted with a cowboy hat.
So it's, wait, so this is also an FU to the country of France somehow?
It's an FU to everybody. That's a 5L Tower, baby.
All right, I like that. I have, I got the Taj Mahal, which, you know, he turns into kind of a Clippers India restaurant a la the Planet Hollywood.
Okay.
Style type thing to try and capture a large population of fans. Clippers themed dishes, chicken tikka Montrezl.
Man, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
What's the deal with NBA in India? Is it big? Do people care?
Couldn't tell you.
Huh. All right. Sorry.
Asking the wrong guy. Asking a guy from Montana about that. Clippers themed dishes like chicken tikka Montrezl and then the Doc Rivers Ganges. That's an adult beverage. that kind of thing. It's a Clippers thing, you know, it's trying to capture...
I like it.
It's frowned upon by the international community and kind of the world as a whole, because it's not in good taste. And then the other one I have is every team's old stadium. Screw it. He has enough money. Paint a big Clippers logo on the whole thing, and that's it. Just 50 Clippers shrines around the world near your favorite team's house. Just a reminder.
Wait, 50? Are there only 30 teams?
No, I'd said every team.
Oh, just every... It's not even NBA. No, it's every team's old stadium. I love it.
So what are you loving, marrying, and just bringing soup to, but it's not really like that?
I'm loving Mount Kushmore.
That makes sense. You know what? That checks out.
I think it's fun.
I think it's fun.
I love the idea. I love...
You think this is a Stephen Ballmer move?
I do.
Okay.
I think that all of the Dakotas would benefit.
both of them. Those are Dakotas? Both of them? Yeah.
I think it'd be good. I also love that, you know, Stephen Ballmer thought Mount Rushmore was fine, but maybe a little swaggerless.
All right. And which one of these are you marrying?
So I'm going to co-marry the 5L Tower and every team's old stadium.
Okay.
I love just a very expensive show of pettiness.
Pettiness, yeah.
Yeah. And both of these very much achieve this. I also like that Stephen Ballmer, he doesn't like Paris because, you know, anybody can go there.
Why does he? Right. I like this.
You know, anybody can go there.
All right. And then so you're just bringing soup to, but you're not, but it's not like that with the Taj Mahal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I just don't know what the interest is in Clippers basketball in India. And
it's not. This is why you make a splash.
And, well, okay, I have a weird thing about Planet Hollywood.
Oh, no.
Before I'd ever been to a Planet Hollywood.
I've never even been to one. I've never actually even seen a Planet Hollywood.
Oh, I went to one. Yeah, I went to one like the first time I ever came to California when I was like 6 years old or something. But
prime demo for Planet Hollywood.
But even at six, before I'd known of Planet Hollywood, I knew of Planet Lockwood, which, if you're from the Montana area, which I'm guessing you're not, there used to be a very sketchy strip club, which was hit with a copyright infringement called Planet Lockwood in near, like, on the outskirts of Billings, Montana.
Huh. And you were six and you knew about this.
There were a lot of signs, man. That's like, they cool. were, like,
I worked...
they were everywhere.
One of my favorite small-town strip club names I've ever seen when I worked on a ranch in Oregon, there was one called The Alibi. Because you always had to have one.
But yeah, I didn't even know that Planet Hollywood was a thing. I didn't even know it was a copyright infringement.
They honestly, with how corporate America works, they probably actually stole the name from Lockwood.
Could be.
And then just flipped it on them.
Could be.
I am loving the Taj Mahal idea.
No surprises there.
I thought of it, so it's a bit of a pride issue. No, but I think it's a big splash. It's I also love it too because it's a classic billionaire move that backfires.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, why would you think this? He's like, what? Right now, it's the Clippers colors. Everyone's like, dude, or whatever we rebrand to.
Yeah.
He's like, now it's like the Caballero colors. And it's like, no, we can't do that. So it's kind of a weird love for that, I guess. Complicated. Yeah. I'm going to have to marry the 5L Tower.
It's good.
The cowboy hat part is funny. I'm not sure if that part stays in my scenario.
I mean, he owns it, so he's putting a cowboy hat on it.
I like that idea.
And it's the elevator doesn't go all the way up to the cowboy hat. So the elevator and it still only goes to where it regularly goes. You have to heli into the cowboy hat.
Which he does, but he looks down at all the other yes. at the other team and he goes, "Can't get up here, boys." yeah, all right. I like that one. And then I think I guess I have to only bring Sutu, but it's not like the Mount Cushmore one.
I'm surprised.
It's not heavily Clippers involved, really.
No, what do you mean? There's Kawhi and Pat Bev on it.
But you just put them up there. It's not like...
It's really funny to me because they're both looking at the president smoking and one is like covering their eyes and one is covering their mouth.
There's too...
It's like a Cheech and Chong
there's
vibe.
There's too many layers in this
No, one. That's fair.
But I also... I'm also just going to hit up on the side to check how they're doing kind of day to day. Every team's old stadium.
Yeah.
Because that's a funny one. Let us know what you think Bomber's going to spend $400 million on next. I hope it's, I don't know, something to help with ventilators in the U.S. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Or hospital beds. Or maybe we turn the Forum into a triage. Space is there.
It's true.
We might need it. Coming up after this, we got a bunch of stuff rolling around in this shavings drawer.
All right. So, shavings. What we got?
We got some NBA stuff and then some Clipper stuff.
All right, so is the NBA dealing with Corona better than any other entity?
It might be. Steph Curry had Obama and Dr. Fauci on his live stream today to just talk about Corona.
Okay.
And, like, misconceptions and what to do. Like, that's the White House doctor. I understand that that doesn't mean maybe what it used to mean in certain ways. But he at least seems to be he seems to be some kind of voice of reason who's like, look, no, this guy is not right. Like, we're actually, this is a big deal. Like his quote of like we don't make the timeline, the virus makes the timeline, which is entirely true.
Side note on the White House doctor, is the presidential fitness test updated with every new president every 4 years?
Yeah, this one is just like, get out of bed. And it's like, holy shit, like, we got a bunch of healthy kids.
You gotta swing a golf club. And
yeah, and that's about it. And Obama popped up on the stream. Like, that influence is crazy to me.
Yeah.
No other sport is coming close to that contact with high-level ranking important human beings in the United States. Well, in a constructive way.
We were commenting on this, on the Wednesday that this happened a couple weeks back. It was just weird that, you know, we had no idea what we were supposed to be doing.
No, not at like, all. Still kind of don't.
In regards to the virus. And I think if you live in California, I guess it's gotten a little bit more clear.
Yeah,
especially
Montana.
Yesterday.
Shout out to all my people in Montana.
And it's just bizarre to me that I guess everyone is looking to these organizations as the model, or if they're not looking to them, that like they're waiting
that's
to do something.
That's where I was getting my news.
You like, right? Like they're waiting. We're all waiting to do something until they do something. And then like, that's the time. I don't know. It was a very puzzling time.
They were doing work from home, cancel everything before everybody. They stopped games. And I think something that's nice to see is there was no pressure or any weirdness when the Pels just noped out of that game with the Kings.
Yeah.
There's been no news from like pressure from the officials or any weird shit, which I feel like in some sports, NFL, that would happen.
Yeah.
We gotta play this game.
The only thing I feel like that was poorly handled maybe by the association was that Jazz OKC game.
Yeah, that's fair.
And obviously, like, they were still running
but
to catch
up
with it.
But at least they stopped the game.
Yeah, like they were still running
and
to
Gobert
catch up
was
with
isolated,
it. Sorry. Yeah, they were still running to catch up with it. And you know, like we said earlier in this segment, like it's not right that they were the ones sort of being forced to govern.
Yeah.
Really, like what that you know, like what was the right thing to do or how was the right way to behave, especially given how little testing there was and everything. But
yeah, they had to take citizens test to the Utah Jazz.
And that's the other, like, that's the other reason I think of it as kind of like a...
Should I blame the Jazz for it?
Well, you know.
They've been open with communication. Woj today had, like, a Woj nice bomb that said the NBA is reducing base salaries by 20% of approximately 100 of the league office's top earning executives around the world. Which is good. That's the NBA understands how Twitter works.
Yeah.
The 76ers tried to, like, not pay all their staff all their money. And then Twitter, like, lost their mind for, like, an hour and a half. And the Sixers completely reversed course.
That's great.
All the banks committed to, like, not doing credit penalties except for, I think it was Bank of America. Twitter lost their mind. Bank of America switched over. Like, the NBA understands what the hell is going on with Twitter in a businessy type way. I know they're not all our friend. It's still a billion-dollar business.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean... It's nice that it feels like we have a little bit more control over what some of these companies and things are doing. It's still a bummer that you have to force people to do the right thing. And not even the right thing in, like, they're doing anybody any favors in, like, just basic human. Yeah, like gratitude or, like, basic human understanding or fairness.
Yeah. There was a really funny comment, and then we'll get to some Pat Bev stuff. The first comment on the Woj tweet was, unpopular opinion, but this is a W. The top 100 won't feel this that much. And someone was like, how is this an unpopular opinion? Everyone thinks it's a W. All right, then so just end with some Clipper stuff for everyone's weekend. Bev went live on Instagram today.
Not with a White House doctor.
Not with a White House doctor.
Okay.
Which, I'll tell you what. I would love to see that. Bev and any doctor. It was literally just him sitting by the pool with his dog and kids and family hanging out. Watch it for like 15 minutes. God damn it. I want basketball to be back. But I have a question here. How stupid do you have to be to go on Bev's Instagram live and comment that he's washed and is not a good defender?
You're a moron.
I don't get these people.
You're
like,
a moron.
What are you doing, dude?
You've also probably watched zero Clippers games this season, so.
You've watched zero Clippers games and like, you just don't like. What are you? What is your? I know a lot of us are in shelter in place. I know that, but what are you doing?
Yeah,
the man is fantastic. In case you forgot how good Patrick Beverley was playing, we're gonna run through some stats for you guys. 8 points, a healthy 8 points, 4 assists, 5 boards. He was shooting 37% from 38%. Excuse me, on 4 attempts a game. He's a dog defender.
Yeah.
Goddamn. I love
high Patrick impact Beverley. Player.
Watch some Patrick Beverley highlights this weekend.
Yeah.
If you're feeling kind of like you hit the wall maybe on week two of being inside, watch some Patrick Beverley highlights. You'll run through those walls that you feel like you hit.
That's fair. All right. So I think that about does it for today.
I think it does.
On Monday's episode, we will have some freshies for you, some favorite Paul George moments, and whatever else is happening.
Yeah. Again, feel free to call in. Leave your hot takes anytime. 213-986-7354. And if you're a local business and you're just trying to connect with some Clippers fans.
Connection.
Because you're a Clippers fan. Go ahead and text advertising to 33777. And we'll go ahead and get you right. Our team will
Let's link up.
Our team will get involved with your team and we will plan for team success. One more time. Text advertising, all capital letters, to 33777. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer. Rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening, for hanging out during this very weird ass time.
Oh, yeah.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Uptake. Appreciate you.